Listening Library presents Ghost Hunters and the Muddy Monster of Doom by Cornelia Funke, read for you by John Beach. Let me introduce three of the most successful ghost hunters of our time: Hetty Hyssop, Tom, and Hugo, a so-called ASG, or Averagely Spooky Ghost. They call themselves Hyssop and Company. And up until now, they've successfully completed every one of their missions, though all of them were extremely challenging, even for such experienced ghost hunters as our three friends. Their missions included fighting some of the most dangerous ghosts, an IRG, incredibly revolting ghost, who had already deep-frozen a client of theirs, a Gillig, gruesome, invincible lightning ghost, who had turned several of its victims into fire ghosts before Hyssop and Company took care of it, and perhaps their most difficult job, the totally moldy Baroness, a particularly vicious Higa, historical ghostly apparition, whom Tom managed to defeat only by risking his own life. After this adventure, the threesome had hoped it would be a while before things turned that bad again. But only a few months later, they were to discover otherwise. It wasn't a mission that almost sealed their fate, though. It was Tom's ghost hunting diploma, GHD. And the field test didn't sound too difficult at all. One more thing. I would ask all listeners who want to devour Hyssop and Company's fourth adventure to put it carefully aside when dusk falls. I would also recommend you not to read it in lonely, mist-shrouded places. But enough of this introduction. It all began on a Friday in late March. It is well known that fateful events nearly always begin on a Friday. An easy task. Later on, Tom would tell himself that his suspicions should have been aroused when he entered the huge, dimly lit office of Professor Slimeblot. Tom normally had a good nose for imminent danger, but on this occasion, it failed him miserably.
"Sit down, Tom," said the professor, taking a swig from his coffee mug.
Professor Slimeblot had only been on the Ghost Hunting Association's examining board for a month, and Tom had never met him before.
"You're the boy who works with Hetty Hyssop, aren't you?" he asked.
Tom nodded. The professor's eyes were strangely light, almost colorless, like everything else about him. Even his skin was as pale as faded paper, and his sparse hair, combed sideways across his bald head, was the same color as dried-out mud. "This guy reminds me of a Pawog," thought Tom. Exactly the same cold and self-satisfied look. Pawogs, pale, wobbly ghosts, are best fought off with laughing gas, and Tom had to suppress a grin as he thought of it. Slimeblot inspected him with his colorless eyes.
"Does Hetty still work with that foolish ASG?" he asked.
"Of course," answered Tom, frowning. He didn't like people insulting his friends, although it was true that Hugo could be very foolish.
"Well, I hope that the Central Commission for Combating Ghosts will put a stop to collaborating with ghosts this year," said the professor, drumming on the desk with a golden letter opener. "We're supposed to chase and destroy ghosts. That's our sole and honorable task. Ghosts are bent on harming humans. They envy us our bodies, as well as our poor souls, which they destroy, mutilate, devour."
As he said these last words, the professor's voice began to tremble, and he thrust the letter opener into his wooden desk with such force that it remained upright. When he noticed Tom's surprised expression, he quickly put the letter opener to one side, cleared his throat, and took another swig from his coffee mug.
"Well, right then, we'll leave it there and move on to your diploma, Tom," he said. "I must be honest and say that I think you are much too young to be taking final exams. The ghost hunting diploma is normally earned by very experienced ghost hunters only, and you are, if my information is correct, a mere 11 years old."
Tom turned bright red with annoyance. "That's true," he said, "but when all's said and done, it only involves a danger Category 3 ghost."
"Only? Well, well," said the professor. "You certainly don't seem to lack self-confidence. You must be aware that this category also includes several extremely dangerous ghosts.
Yes, but they're not that difficult to fight, answered Tom. And anyway, the only thing I haven't done yet is the field test, identifying and catching an unclassified ghost. It's always the same, he thought. People discover you're a bit younger than normal, and they all start acting as if you couldn't tell the difference between an ASG and an IRG.
Gentle listener, ASG equals averagely spooky ghost. IRG equals incredibly revolting ghost, in case you imprudently skipped the introduction to delve straight into the story. The professor sighed, leaned back in his chair, and allowed his pale gaze to wander along the walls of his office. Much to Tom's surprise, they weren't red. Most ghost hunters choose this color because it scares off ghosts. But Slimeblot's office had dark blue walls. Dozens of framed newspaper clippings hung on them, trumpeting his triumphs in the ghost hunting field.
Well, I can see that you are quite determined, said the professor, letting his gaze wander back to Tom. Have it your way. Presumably you know the basic rules?
For a moment, Tom thought he could see something close to malice in the colorless eyes. Of course, he answered. I have to catch the ghost single-handed, but I can choose 2, maximum 3 helpers to observe it and to lure it in.
1,
the professor corrected him. 1? Tom looked at him, surprised. I thought...
Well, the examinations board has tightened up the regulations somewhat, the professor interrupted him. At my suggestion.
Tom managed to swallow a quiet curse. How was he supposed to explain this to Hugo?
And what's more, the professor continued with a nasty chuckle, to fulfill your task, you may only use equipment that is listed in the ghost hunting guidelines. Special pastes and invented tools of the kind that our colleague Hyssop likes to use are not allowed. If you rely on those, you will be deemed to have failed.
Tom just nodded. He had been expecting this.
Good. Now to the task itself.
Professor Slimeblot cleared his throat and opened a slim file.
The ghostly apparition you will be dealing with was reported 3 days ago in a village named Bogpool, about 100 miles northeast of here. The owner of the village's only inn has already been informed that you will be staying there and you will need a double room. Here is the full address along with travel directions and a brief summary of your mission.
The professor handed Tom a sealed envelope bearing the Ghost Hunting Association stamp. Tom scanned the summary. You must submit the following to the Ghost Hunting Association's examinations board. Firstly, a precise report on all the ghostly activity you have observed. 2 copies, typed. Secondly, sound recordings, photos, and or filmed material of the ghostly apparition. Thermospiritist recordings are, of course, permitted. Thirdly, the ghostly specimen, captured and unharmed. We recommend that you use a COCOT, contact compression trap. Using these on danger category 3 ghosts involves the least risk. Tom nodded. As if he needed to have that explained to him. Didn't this pesky committee realize that, as a member of Hyssop and Company, he'd already caught Category 6 ghosts? Anything else? Asked Tom, stuffing the envelope containing his exam task into his backpack.
Well, I hope you have a successful hunt, answered the professor. Or how do ghost hunters put it? Keep your head, even after midnight.
There was something about Professor Slimeblot's voice that Tom didn't like at all. But before he could give it any further thought, Slimeblot held out his hand to him with a thin laugh. The professor's fingers were almost as cold as Hugo's.
Good luck, Tom, he said. And send Hetty Hyssop my regards.
Will do, replied Tom, and shook the chalk-white hand as firmly as possible. I'd estimate I'll have it all wrapped up by the end of next week.
Oh, yes? Said Slimeblot. You really are a quick worker, aren't you, Tom?
Then he smiled again, and Tom noticed that even the professor's lips were completely colorless. The Village in the Fog. Hugo turned as green as moldy bread when Tom told him that he and Hetty Hyssop would be going to Bogpool alone.
So, they only allow 1 helper,
he breathed, folding his arms across his pale chest.
Well then, leave Hetty here.
Oh, right.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?